The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, does God really send prophets? Indeed he does, my friend, indeed he does. And we've seen some of his prophecies come true in our lifetime. Isaiah 11 predicted there would be three different nations of Israel. The third was formed against tremendous odds and legally came into existence in the year 1947. Isaiah the prophet also predicted that Jesus would die for our sins, or a man known as the Messiah would die for our sins and rise from the dead 700 years before he came. And he did come as Jesus. It's also true that God says things about nations in general, warnings to nations that turn from him, turn from a basic moral compass, that he could, as a result, withhold his restraining hand and allow some tyrannical dictatorship to overtake them. Of course, even men who were not prophets, men like Abraham Lincoln, warned that the greatest threat to America was not from other attacking nations, but rather disunity from within. Never has this been more on display than in our current political climate. Bernie Sanders, while giving his acceptance speech for winning the primary in his home state of Vermont, said, "We're going to defeat the most dangerous president in modern American history." This from the man who praises Fidel Castro. Bernie did lose some liberal states last week. His words of praise for Castro probably didn't help. That's one problem we won't see from Joe Biden. He probably doesn't even know who Castro is. Just wondering, if Bernie wins the nomination and then goes on to win the general election, will he give his acceptance speech from Washington or Moscow? Naturally, there are other takeaways from last week's primary, Super Tuesday, or Super Thursday, as Joe Biden called it, one hot commodity that's now available to all. How would you like to hire the Michael Bloomberg debate prep team? And Elizabeth Warren did not have a good night. She's since dropped out. She lost her home state of Massachusetts. Fox News called it a big surprise. Probably no surprise to anyone who actually knows her. Cheer up, Liz. We have no doubt that when you tell the story 10 years from now, it will be quite different. But the big winner last week, hands down, Joe Biden winning 9 states. Well, this calls for a celebration. Yes, once again, it's time for our Joe Biden update. Joe couldn't get his wife and sister straight while giving his acceptance speech. At least he called the evening Super Tuesday before continuing, something he had flubbed earlier in the day. Probably one of his aides in the wings went, "Joe, remember, it's Tuesday! It's Tuesday, Joe!" Then he said his evening was going better than the other guy. Another wise, safe choice of words. He probably couldn't remember who the other guy was. And how about the way he quoted the Declaration of Independence last week? Here's the real line. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what it says. Here's what Joe said. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created by the, the thing. While the obvious explanation is that this is merely another of Joe's 9,742 million gaffes, there is another observation. Well, our forefathers in their declaration did mean people, but said men in an age where masculine words often translated as human being in the minds of the populace. Obviously, old Joe didn't want to get accused of sexism, so he changed it on the spot to all men and women, then got lost and forgot how to finish. Just a theory of what might have been causing this sorry excuse of verbiage, but whatever was going on in Joe's brain, and nobody is quite certain anymore if he even has a brain, he did accidentally say something correct. It had to happen sooner or later. You know the old saying, give a monkey a typewriter, sooner or later he types a word. Joe's correct words in this case were, you know. Yes, Joe, we do know. It would be nice if a man running for president also knew. Meanwhile, our current president continues to get attacked over his handling of the coronavirus. When President Trump first tweeted out photos from a coronavirus briefing assuring people of a skilled task force, saying we have the best experts, his statement was treated with disdain. CNN writer Brandon Tensley expressed grave concern. Grave concern. Who are these experts? They're largely the same sort of white men and a couple of women on the sidelines who've dominated the Trump administration from the very beginning. Okay, look, sooner or later, the coronavirus will be brought under control. It may take a while longer for the end of political correctness and its unceasing ability to poison minds and breed stupidity. Yes, I can just imagine the coronavirus saying to itself, those dumb humans, mostly white, mostly male. Had they shown more diversity, I would have been a goner. A vaccine and an antivirus drug would have been created, but now I will flourish. After this, the virus lets out an even more insidious laugh while playing the organ at the bottom of his gothic dungeon. And now a man who owns no organ in any dungeon, say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. You know, as a matter of fact, at one time, the church that I pastored, we had a church organ but didn't use it, and there was a little Spanish-speaking church down the street that needed one, so we gave them the organ, thus becoming the first organ-donating church.
Very good.
Rim shot.
Very okay. Good. Hey, awesome before comment. We go on, you're talking about yeah. Your church, but I want to congratulate you because I know you just retired.
Yes.
So congratulations,
my friend.
Thank you so much.
Today was my first Sunday off, though I did go to church, but it was my first Sunday of not being responsible for anything that happened at church.
Boy, Jim, on my day off, I can think of 100 things I'd rather do than go to church.
Well, now, come on. Anyway, yeah, thank you so much. It was just a tremendous run of being at that church for 20 years and the senior pastor for 18 of those. And it's just been a great, great time. We had a wonderful celebration last Sunday. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And I have said a couple of times, you don't retire from who you are and what your calling is. You just retire from a salary and an organization and a title. So I am still who I am. God willing, and we're alive, I'll be on your show as often as I can, and I'll keep doing the things that I usually do. So,
well, I will be happy to have you, of course. And
yeah.
The way our country is going, you and I may both retire with a noose around our necks. That may be how we retire.
You know, I regret that I have but one radio show to give from my country.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Okay. So a few things. I loved your opening monologue there. Was the music playing there for Joe? Was that the theme for Otis from Superman?
And while he was walking, Lex Luthor says it's amazing that brain can generate enough electricity to keep those legs moving.
Exactly. Yeah, I just thought, and then I didn't realize until they played that music, the great similarities. So
there is, and we've been playing it a lot, and I'm guessing
okay.
A lot more in the months ahead.
Yeah, and because, you know, I love the pop culture references. Now, another couple of things, just addressing your opening remarks. You talked about prophets, and there were always prophets. In the Old Testament, the role was a little different sometimes than maybe prophets would be in the New Testament thing. Not completely, but slightly different. But there was a prophecy made that was quite unusual, and it was when Jesus had been apprehended, or was about to be apprehended, and Caiaphas, who was the high priest, who was required to prophesy once a year, said, unwittingly, on his own part, for the sake of the nation, one man must die. And he didn't realize he was talking about the Christ giving his life as the Messiah.
Yeah, what he thought he was talking about, and this is a good example about how the Holy Spirit can give a prophecy even to somebody who's not walking with him, which Caiaphas obviously wasn't. He was a very corrupt priest. In those days, the priesthood was the family that gave the highest bribe to the Roman Empire. But what he was thinking, obviously, was, boy, there's so much unrest with Jesus and our nation is divided. If we don't get rid of him, the Romans will take our freedom away. So let's kill him, and that's how we'll save the nation. But, yeah, he accidentally muttered correct words because Jesus actually had come to die for the nation, but not at all in the way Caiaphas had imagined.
Yeah, and I guess that's the point, is that even, I mean, you know, if God can use a donkey to speak through, then he can use a corrupt politician
there you
or
go.
Religious leader or anybody. So,
yeah, well, after last week's primary, I'll vote for the donkey, hands down.
Well, that's the wrong party, Bob.
That's true.
Stick with the pachyderms, please.
Yeah, well, the elephants haven't been much better, but they're the lesser of two evils at this point.
Yeah, and unfortunately in my lifetime, it comes down to that sometimes.
Well, their ideology is good. Their ideology isn't the lesser of two evils, but people like Mitt Romney make it that, so.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what he is.
He's a
rhino
politician.
We've identified.
He's a politician.
Yeah, he's a politician. Much like you mentioned the priesthood, he's you know, I think there's more about benefiting and profiting from the thing really than serving. But that's my opinion, and I can give my opinion on the Bob Siegel Show.
With our political climate in this country, for at least another 5 minutes, you can give your opinion on the Bob Siegel
Show. Another 5 minutes.
Maybe 10.
So, okay, and then before we get into the real meaty stuff here tonight, I just wanted to say for the sports fans that are, you know, our listeners who pay attention to sports out there, congratulations to San Diego State University Aztecs, who won the Mountain West Conference and then strategically lost the game on a last-second shot, thereby securing a number two seed in the West rather than having to be a number one in the East, and I think they'll fare better that way.
Okay.
And I know that stuff is not your, that's not in your wheelhouse, but I just needed to get that off
that's
my chest.
Why don't say it, Kay? You're my friend. You can say anything you want. We'll be right back.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development, that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my good friend, the retired pastor, Jim Barrier.
And happily retired.
Happily retired.
For now. So it wasn't too many years ago. It seemed like overnight I woke up and said, what happened to the country I grew up in? It just seemed overnight. I know it wasn't overnight, but it seemed like all of a sudden the valued principles that we have based our society on, the things that seem to be important and seem to be true and held to, evaporated. And the direction that we were going just seemed to change midstream. And I've been chewing on that a lot lately, and it's been heightened because of this, the primaries and the election and all of the things going on politically right now, and Ms. Pelosi and all the rest. But I just think, what country am I in now? It doesn't seem like the same America that I grew up in my younger years. And so I wanted to talk about some of the things. How does this happen? And we're certainly not the first nation to take a wrong direction or a dangerous direction. So I wanted to talk about some history and make some comparisons. You have heard the quote, I'm sure, those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely.
Best I can tell, George Santayana was the first person to say, the one that at least got credit. But I think that's where we're at. We haven't learned from history, and now it seems like we're repeating history. So lesson number one, the Bolshevik Revolution. Certainly there was corruption, there was tyranny, and so Lenin led a revolt to free the masses. And, of course, he didn't turn out to be that great of a person. One of his main points was that the revolution can only be achieved by a strong leadership of the masses, by one person or a very select few. His slogan was, peace, bread, land. He promised to take land from the upper classes and redistribute it among the peasants. Does any of that sound familiar?
It does, and what people fail to understand is Hitler made the same promise.
The Nazi Party
called themselves socialists, too. They were into. He preached wealth redistribution as well.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to give him equal time, but the whole.
Well, we always want to give Hitler equal time on this show.
So. Well, yeah, you know, because everyone I hate is Hitler. But so what happened there? Promises of prosperity and equality, and we're going to take care of everybody. Really went south, and things went bad, and that country. It went from bad to worse, because when Stalin came into power, his nickname was the Butcher. He killed millions of his own people. But the thing is that the masses, the people, believe the deception. They believe the carrot that's dangled out there. They buy into the political rhetoric that is preached to them, and it just amazes me that so many people, majorities in many cases, could be so easily misled and be deceived, and often it's because of a promise of something to fill their bellies or to meet some basic needs in life, and that someone else is going to take care of that. And that was the case in Russia. And I always encourage people to read George Orwell's book, Animal Farm, because many people felt it was a kind of an analogy of what happened in Russia. He said it was not. He said it was a fairy tale. But if you look at the characters in the book, they all kind of line up with people in Russian history. But at the end of Animal Farm, after the pigs had led a revolution against the humans, at the very last chapter, at the end of the book, the rest of the farm animals are looking inside the house that the pigs were now inside of, playing cards and having a good time and drinking and carrying on with the men. And they looked back and forth and back and forth from man to pig, and pretty soon they couldn't tell the difference. And this is what happens with these type of revolutions often. The people who are revolting for the people become the very thing they rebelled against.
Yes, persecuted groups, when they come into power, the power is never enough, and sooner or later they start treating other people the way they were once treated.
Yeah, and that seems to be the case. Now you mentioned the maybe the one last consistent evil person that people will, you know, people will have to say, well, there is some evil. Hitler was evil. And so if you don't like somebody, he's Hitler. I got all over a very close friend of mine because he was posting statements and comparing Trump to Hitler. And I just, it made me angry. You know, Trump is, he is abrasive. We've talked about that. I don't like his personality. And he can be
But he didn't line up 6 million Jews and have them murdered in concentration camps.
Exactly. And he hasn't rolled through cities and nations with tanks.
The problem is when everybody's a Nazi, nobody's a Nazi. It waters down what the real Nazis and the real Hitler did. I am so sick and tired of that, just like you.
I am too, but let's listen now to a couple of the things that were part of his campaign. First off, he set about abolishing the powers of the independent states and the existence of non-Nazi political parties and organizations. In other words, if you didn't agree with him, then he would abolish you. There was no longer power on any local government level. It all went through him.
And he did that by creating a crisis.
Yeah,
he talked about riots at the universities and the streets. He's preached against communism. Well, the only difference between Nazism and communism was Hitler's redistribution was more national. The communists think more globally.
Yeah. And I had a world history teacher in high school, and he put a sign up that got him in a lot of trouble that he said Hitler was the greatest communist hater of all time. And there was some truth to that. He promised free health care and free education. Wow. You mean that wasn't an original idea?
Yeah, because they were going to take it from all those rich Jews.
Yeah.
And today they make it rich against the poor. It won't take much, especially with people like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar in power, to start substituting the word rich for the word Jews. And there will be again. All right, we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connor's strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Listening to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
So we're going to finish up here talking about Germany in the 30s and 40s. You have probably heard this before. This is a statement, a poem, a writing from a pastor, Martin Niemöller, who was in Germany, and he says this. First, they came for the socialists. Now, that's referring to people who are sympathetic to Russian style of socialism. And I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. And I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. That is a frightening concept, and yet I see this very type of principle in our culture, and I thank God,
the thing that Joe Biden was talking about, the thing.
I thank God for programs like yours and for KCBQ and the Salem Broadcast Network and voices who are still proclaiming truth and speaking out against corruption, because at some point we could be in this position saying no one came to speak for me. And so you and I, friend, will continue to lift our voices and sound a warning. And though I don't claim to be a prophet, and I don't think that you do either, we do have a role of being watchmen on the wall. And I think that's what this show is often about, or it really in its heart.
Well, the thing is, you don't need a vision these days. It's like you said, all you need to do is learn the lessons of history, but unfortunately, very few ever do.
Yeah, and so my point in these two examples, we're going to talk a little bit about Israel in a minute, but in these two examples, and there are many others, you can look at all of the, through Asia, Communist China, and then North Korea and Vietnam, and all of that whole chain that began to unfold. That people buy into a lie, whether they're coerced or pressured, whether just wishful thinking, believing false promises, and masses somehow get duped. They get hypnotized. They drink the Kool-Aid. And I'm so concerned for what I see, especially in the younger generation. It's just killing me, to hear some of the things I hear young people, even Christians, professing Christians, the things that they say, the things that they seem to espouse or be sympathetic to. And I'm thinking, have you ever read history? Are you familiar with it, what has happened in other societies? It seems like there's just a blindness to the reality of history, and we do need to learn from it.
Yeah, and I remember in 08, I was hearing adults talking about Obama, saying, well, my kids really turned me on to Obama. Listen to the youth. That's where the innocence is. The kids know. The kids will tell us. The kids don't know jack diddly squat. And we can sound like two old baby boomers here talking about the good old days. I get how that sounds. But ladies and gentlemen, in the good old days, we were a freer country. And we are on the road to losing all freedoms of speech, all freedoms of religion. And we're just warning you about that. Jim and I aren't talking about the good old days when they played our kind of music or wore our kind of clothes. We're talking about the good old days when they were freedom. And frankly, our youth has been so indoctrinated. That's why, Jim, I'm not a big believer in get out the vote. I'm not one who tells everybody that they should just vote. If they're educated and they know the issues and they've really studied, sure, vote. But that applies to so few people. I just as soon have as few people voting as possible, especially when the kids are telling me.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And I take a little bit of a different stance. I want to help educate you, and when Bob says educate, he doesn't mean you have to go to college to be able to vote. It means
no, that's the last place you want to go to learn where to vote.
get information and learn what do the propositions mean. For instance, you guys just had a close call there with the Prop 13 thing because they worded it in such a way that masses could read that and think the exact opposite of what that proposition meant.
They do that, and then when the proposition passes the way we want it to, like Proposition 8. And some others, they just get a judge to overturn it anyway. Makes very little difference what we do in California anymore. Sacramento is going to do anything it wants, which is my point. There was once a time when we were a much freer country, and we're on the road to losing all freedom.
And in your state, I say your state, it's my home state, but where you live is a state of confusion, and it should be the great warning shot for the rest of us. Don't let California happen in the rest of the nation, but we will see what happens. And I just need to correct you. I still like the music that I listened to years ago. I just don't wear the same clothes that I wore then.
<That's right. Yeah.
laughs> I wanted to clarify that.
No, but again, but you're not telling people that they should like this music because it's better. Yeah. I used to hear people talk about how the hymns were the more spiritual music and they didn't want to see a rock band. We're not talking about that kind of generation gap. We're talking about the fact that we were once a republic and we're becoming an oligarchy and well on the way to just being a dictatorship.
Yeah. So, and we're going to, if we have time, if I can, I'll have some closing things. I'll pay attention to the clock here to reassert those things. Now, let's give a little time to Israel, because the same kind of thing happened. Even as far back as, when Moses was trying to lead the people out of captivity and they're wandering in the wilderness because of their stubbornness, and they're saying, we want to go back to Egypt.
Isn't that interesting? They wanted to go back to slavery and captivity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, Jim.
Because times were tough. And when times get tough, the tough start whining. I don't know. How does that go? I forget. But
when the going gets rough, the rough get going.
But they were whining. They wanted to go back to Egypt. But all through Israel's history, you read the Old Testament, it's like, one generation, is going to follow after Jehovah God, and the next one is going to serve the Baals. And they just seem so fickle and so easily misled. There is a great example of this, and it's in the book of 1 Samuel, in around chapter 8. At that point, Israel was a theocracy, and God was their king. But he had prophets, and at that time, Samuel was the prophet. Actually, was the first official prophet with that title. And the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel and said, appoint a king to us like all of the other nations have.
Which sounds like Bernie saying we need to have socialists like all the other nations have.
Yeah. And so Samuel was not happy with that. And he prayed and God said, look, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. And nevertheless, he granted them a king. How'd that work out for you?
King Saul, who was a pretty lousy king. And when you look at all the kings, you can maybe come up with five that were any good. All right, we'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. This is your host, Bob Siegel, with Jim Barrier.
And Beatle music. Beatle music, wow. See, the music back then was better, Bob. Okay.
Well, whether it was or whether it wasn't, what we're emphasizing is freedom was better.
You know, I love the pop culture references. I could digress at this point, but I...
I digress on the air? Never. That never happens.
Yes. Well, I'll see how fast I can do this. When I was 13 and 5/6 of a year old, that would be 10 months, I saw the Beatles in San Diego, and I went home and told my mom, I have to have a guitar. And so I got a guitar, and not long after that, I became a believer. So then I had to start learning some Christian songs, which at that time, there weren't any contemporary Christian artists. There wasn't any stuff. And then in the Jesus move, we had some Christian rock. And then in the charismatic renewal, it was okay to lead worship with a guitar. And so things evolved for me, and I became a worship leader. Fast forward to 20 years ago, when Gary Young, who you know, was pastor at the church that I became pastor, he asked me to come down and become the worship leader. So I did. And when Gary left, the elders pressed me into service, and I became the pastor. So I told my congregation, if it weren't for the Beatles, I wouldn't have been your pastor.
There you go. Hey, those connected dots worked for me, Jim.
It's part of my shtick. Yeah. So let's take a look at the New Testament. Now, Jesus had followers, and the crowds kind of went up and down from time to time. They loved it when he was feeding the multitudes. They loved that free bread. Feed us, and we want you to be the king. And he said, no, that's not what I'm here for.
Here for at that moment.
At that moment. And of course, they wanted a king who would come and overthrow Rome, which I always found funny, because when he said, if you are my disciples, let's back up. If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they said, free? We've never been slaves to anyone. Right. How about slaves to Egypt? How about slaves to Syria? How about slaves to Babylon? How about slaves to Rome? These people are crazy. So anyway, they loved him if he would feed them. And I'm thinking, okay, Lenin promises peace, bread, and land. Hitler promises to redistribute things and have free health care and education, and on and on and on. There's something about free bread that'll draw a crowd. So Jesus has his ministry, and it turns out he was not there to meet the people on their terms. He had a bigger plan. He had a different kingdom than they were seeing. And so when he was apprehended, brought before Pilate, he says, do you want me to crucify your king? Listen to what they said.
We have no king but Caesar.
Now, that was politically correctness, because they should have said, we have no king but Herod.
Right? They were kissing up to Rome.
Exactly. Same old stuff. It was the politically correct thing, and say, okay, Caesar's our king. And so we see the same thing in the masses. All, you know, a week earlier they're shouting Hosanna, Hosanna, and now they're shouting Crucify Him, Crucify Him.
Well, and it tells us in the scriptures that the reason the crowd turned on him is that the Pharisees and Sadducees went in and worked the crowd. It's like one of those old episodes of Bonanza, remember, where they're going to hang somebody? Yeah. Hey, Sheriff, we ain't waiting for that circuit judge. Bring him out here now. And then Huck was a friend of mine. Yeah, the crowd's like, It's the same kind of thing.
I tend to more like Kenneth Mars in Young Frankenstein. A riot is an ugly thing. We're all over the map again, Bob.
That's all right. We got to remove the tension with a little bit of lightheartedness.
Sometimes. But so the masses were manipulated by an elite group with political motivations, and the people followed the wrong leader.
Well, and even before that, you were talking about Jesus feeding the people. He was very popular. Yeah. But then when his message would get difficult, when he'd say, if any man would come after me, let him pick up his cross, let him die, then the crowds would thin out. And he didn't go chasing after them, saying, hey, wait, we got a church afterglow. There's going to be a band. There's going to be punch and cookie. Yeah. He just turned his disciples. He says, anybody else want to leave? He didn't care about the numbers. He cared about doing what was right.
Wow, there's a whole show right there.
Numbers, is that the name of the game? We should do a numbers show.
Exactly. But so see, there's this pattern. You see it in political, secular history. You see it in the history of Israel. And you even see it in the first century church, or at least the followers of Jesus. But there's some good news, folks, and I know we're going to start running out of time here, so I want to try to get to some closing remarks with time for a rebuttal from the other guy.
the other guy. Good one, Joe. Good safe phrase, Joe.
See, I do listen to what you say in the opening monologue. So.
Well, after all, I am the other guy, so you should listen.
You are, and it is your show. So here's a verse that is often quoted, and it's a good passage. It's from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. There's your first scripture.
I kid you not, Jim. In my morning prayers, I pray for my country every day, and I actually recite that every morning.
Good.
For the last couple of years as part of my prayers, because that's how concerned I am for the direction of our country.
And it would be a good thing for everyone who calls themselves a Christian or a follower of Jesus, a person of faith, that would be a good thing to pray about.
Including some of the pastors of the evangelical churches, which are starting to compromise.
Yes, sir. And but then, you know, someone might well say, well, that was addressed to the Jews, and it doesn't apply to America. I'd like to remind our listeners and those of you that have that critical discerning spirit to recognize that Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which is where Iraq is now. They were a corrupt nation, a secular nation, an ungodly nation, and God told Jonah, remember the guy with the big fish, he said, go down there and tell them judgment's coming. And lo and behold, Nineveh repented.
Yeah, there was judgment issued by prophets against many nations. Nineveh, Babylon, Egypt, many nations. We'll be back for one more segment.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. a lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
World, that's why we have to be so careful during an election year, not only at the ballot box, but in our prayer closet. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
I love Satchmo. That would be the nickname of the great trumpet player Louis Armstrong, who sang that song, Wonderful World.
That's a wonderful artist.
Great song. Now, I think we've done a great job of being concise and summing up world history and how it relates to our culture, rabbit trails notwithstanding. Here's what I want to close with tonight. There was a writer named Carl Sandburg, a great American poet. I consider him very similar to Solomon, and I say that because he had great wisdom, but he was very cynical. And Solomon seemed to take some turns in that direction at times. But Sandburg said this. In fact, if you can ever get a hold of his poem, The People, Yes, it's pretty profound. But this is something he said. For we know when a nation goes down and never comes back, when a society or a civilization perishes, one condition may always be found. They forgot where they came from. They lost sight of what brought them along. Does that sound relevant to
that? Is very profound, and that reminds me of the other famous George Orwell book you mentioned, Animal Farm, but 1984, where he talked about the rewriting of history.
Yeah,
and our schools are rewriting our American history.
And
that's why people don't have this great love for America. They've forgotten where they came from.
So four things that I know about how our nation began. One, whether anybody will admit it or not, the people were by and large believers in a Judeo-Christian ethic.
Absolutely. Thought that Christianity was still very good for the country.
And I've been to the nation's capital many, many times, and I've read the writings, even of people like Jefferson and Franklin, who, people poo-poo and say, well, they were deists. A deist wasn't what a deist would be today. But these men believed in God. So that's the first thing. They were believers. Second of all, they had an insatiable appetite for freedom. They came here to have freedom so they could express their beliefs and live without being under tyranny or coercion. And then the third thing, and this is something that is lost often, America was formed a republic, not a democracy. They formed a republic. And there is a difference. We'll have to do a whole show explaining.
Well, in a nutshell, the difference is they didn't want the country to be run by a mob.
Yeah. And then they wrote this marvelous piece of work, maybe inspired by the Magna Carta, but it was an incredible experiment called the Constitution. And everything was built on that. That was the framework that things were to be interpreted through. And so I'm looking now at where we're at, and I'm thinking believers now are shunned, they're frowned on, politically incorrect to be a believer if it's in the Judeo-Christian religion. You can be a believer in any weird religion or anything else, but not a Christian. Secondly, freedom's evaporating. We're losing it, and again, in your state, the freedom is almost non-existent. And then a republic. We have this. The people think. It's about the popular vote. No, it's not. It's not. That's the whole power of the Electoral College, is that they know you don't want to have one city like New York controlling everything for the whole nation.
Who would ever campaign in the Midwest and in most of the country if New York, Los Angeles, and maybe Chicago are the only cities deciding our election for us?
Yeah. And then the fourth point of this, the Constitution, and don't get me wrong in this, but it should be sacred to Americans.
Sacred, which means it doesn't just mean whatever some radical leftist judge decides he wants it to mean.
Yeah. So those are the four things, the people of faith, people of freedom, a republic with a constitution to guide them. We need to remember those things, not forget where we came from. Don't lose sight of what brought us here. And my concern is that that is happening or could happen, and I hope and pray that this show and many others like it will continue to sound an alarm so that we don't lose those things. And that is what I have to say tonight.
Oh, wow, Jim. You couldn't have gotten too tangential because you said what you have to say and you have time to spare.
Want to talk about music?
We'll talk about anything you want.
No.
Well, tell me how your retirement's going so far. What's a typical day for you now?
The typical day is I ask my wife, what day is it?
You stumble out of bed and put your slippers on by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
No, I still wake up at normal time. One of the cool things we're doing, because Leslie, who you've met, retired several years ago, so we start our day off generally. We have an enclosed porch out back, and we sit out there and have coffee. No agenda, just sit there. And
isn't that nice to be able to get up and do that?
Oh, my. And it's just a wonderful thing for me. So we do that, and then we kind of look at what do we need to get accomplished. Now, I still have a lot of activity. I do the radio show. I still perform weddings. I do an awful lot of counseling. And so it's not like I'm sitting around with nothing to do.
No, I understand. Dana retired about a year ago, and she's busier than she's ever been.
Everybody I know says that, and it probably kept me from retiring for a long time because everybody I know said I'm busier. I work harder now that I'm retired.
But they're busy doing things. They're busy doing things they want to do. Of course, I love my job and I love what I'm doing anyway. So to me, I'm not going to see much difference between what I'm doing now and retirement.
You've got a pretty good gig between the show and your class at Skyline and just your network of friends and stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't shake that up too much. But I'm getting ready. We've got a couple of wheelchair distributions. You know, I do that regularly.
Yes, in Mexico. That's wonderful.
Developing nations, and we'll be doing that. I'll try to do that as long as I'm physically able. And we're going to do a lot of traveling. The irony, of course, is I have time to do all of this, but no more salary to support. But life.
Well, how much is that WOMP and Social Security going to give you? A whole $200 a month?
I'm a couple of years away from that. They say that everything I've read, I will be better off if I wait till I'm 70.
That's what I'm planning on doing, the same thing.
Yeah, I turned 69 this year, so I'm at least a year away from that. But I am on Medicare, and that's been helpful for me. And the truth is, I've been so helpful. You know, I went into my insurance agent the other day because we thought we'd make some adjustments, he said, well, when's the last time you're in the hospital? I said, well, when I was 7, I broke my arm. Other than that, it's been to visit people. And I don't get sick. I've never had a flu shot, and I've never had the flu. So I'm blessed with good genes, I think is what it is. And I expect to live into my 90s if I can avoid.
Maybe you should sell your blood to Israel, where they're trying to come up with a vaccine for the coronavirus.
I'm hoping that my kids will get some of this. I got it from my mom and her parents, and so life is good. I'm healthy, but we're going to try to enjoy some of the free time as much as we can afford. My wife is a genius at finding bargains, cheap airfares and Airbnbs and lots of travel things. So we're going to do some travel. We will be out in San Diego in June, and I plan on being in the studio to do the show with you that month. So lots of plans, lots of stuff. I just don't have the day-to-day responsibilities of running the church.
I'm very glad you get all this time. I'm glad you're so healthy. And, of course, we can't sell your blood to cure the virus because they have to have a part of the virus to make a vaccine, and it won't be in your blood. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, it's always a treat. We'll have you on again next month.
Awesome. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.